part of the same family of Joseph as us, and there's all these similarities there. And do you know what? They face some of the same problems. You know, they never know how many people are going to turn up on a Sunday morning. They
have all the same kind of stuff. Thank you. Are you recording? Jill's lovely, isn't she? You can edit that bit out if you want to. And so it's been really cool to go around and see them. And I felt at home in lots of those in those churches because they're so similar. And they're doing a lot of the same sort of stuff that we're doing. And we can draw from each other. We can really gain strength by building relationships with those guys. So a lot of them are going from both Gloucester and Stroud, are going on that Lenchwood summer camp that Sarah was sort of talking about there. And it'd be really cool if we could send some folk to. I mean, all the leadership are going with our families. I think the Dobsons are going. We're not 100% sure, but there's a few families going, and it'd be really lovely if there were a bunch of us there. Because it's in those moments, as the kids were saying, when you build relationships, because you're in and out of each other's tents, and you meet each other in the toilets, and you play cricket together, and it's really good. It's a really good time. So it'd be great if we could...
There's day tickets too,
Sarah's saying. Okay, cool. So that's my little encouragement. So let's do a quick recap. Sarah said... we started off in this series, and obviously I haven't been here, so I don't know exactly what, other than that people have said they went on too long, so you'll be pleased that my one's a bit shorter. But we started off with identity. So the idea was that we wanted to explore this idea of God's kingdom coming. What happens when God's kingdom comes, and what kind of introduces that? So we wanted to start off with saying, who are we? What's our relationship to God? What's our place? Who has He made us to be? And that's why we wanted to start off by looking at identity, to know that we are Christ's, to know whose we are. And then we wanted to say, well, if we've got that kind of bit right, if we understand who we are, and if we've given ourselves to God, and if we've consecrated our lives to Him and said, I'm yours, I understand who I am in relationship to you, what's the next step after that? It's to begin to ask God, what is it that you want from me? You know, I've given myself to you. I understand who you are. I understand who I am in relationship to you. What do you want from me? What are you asking me to do? And if we've begun to understand our calling and we're obedient to that calling, what happens then? We understand who we are. We understand what God is asking us to do, and we're being obedient to it. What are the sort of things that can happen? Now, I didn't know that they were going to call it supernatural. And when I saw the title, I was like, what have they done? You know, they've asked me to do the third talk and then gone and called it supernatural, which just sounds like such a grand title. But all we're really saying is, if we've done these first two bits, if we've understood who we are, we've consecrated ourselves to God, and if we're being obedient to our calling, what are the sort of things that we can expect to see happening? What happens when the kingdom of God comes? Because that's really what we're saying. If we're in that right place with God, that's what happens. We're following the model that Jesus gave us. He knew who He was. He knew who He was in relationship to His Father. And He was obedient to His Father. And what happened? The kingdom of God came when Jesus came. And that's the same as for us. Because God says to us, just do what I'm doing. You know, follow the pattern that I've given you, and the same things will happen. The kingdom will come when you understand who you are. And when you're obedient to the calling of God, then the kingdom comes. So that's really what it means. But what does the kingdom of God look like? Well, let's have a look at what Jesus said at the beginning of His ministry. Now, I don't know if you kind of remember this story. Jesus goes into the temple and He gets out a scroll. And it's a passage from Isaiah that Jesus is quoting. And this is what it says. So He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. So this is Jesus setting out His ministry at the real start of His work. He says, proclaim good news to the poor. proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Those who are in bondage, set them free. The blind, allow them to see again, and set the oppressed free. This is the Lord's favour. And then, in kind of in the middle of his ministry, he sends out the 12 disciples, and he says this to them: as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. So the terms kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are interchangeable. They mean the same thing in the Bible. When you read kingdom of heaven, you could read it as kingdom of God. They're the same thing. There's no difference. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, okay. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is where the rubber begins to hit the road a little bit, isn't it? Because we can maybe look at that list and we think, okay, the first one, heal the sick, we can kind of get on board with that a little bit. We're kind of okay with laying our hands on people and praying for them, and if they've got a cold, it gets better sort of 3 or 4 days later, and that's, yes, okay, we've prayed for healing, and healing has come. But then he goes on and says, raise the dead. How many of us have gone up to a dead body and tried to raise it? Anyone? No, it's a bit more of a challenge, isn't it? Cleanse those who have leprosy. Anyone cleansed a leper? Anyone healed a leper? No. Drive out demons. That gets a bit weird and scary. Gordon and Elizabeth are putting their hands up.
Straight up there.
It's challenging stuff, isn't it? But this is the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God has come near, and this is what it looks like. It looks like people getting healed. It looks like dead people coming back alive again. It looks like demons being driven out. It looks like people with dreadful skin diseases that are incurable being cured. That's what the kingdom of heaven looks like. Okay. And then at the end of his ministry, just when he's standing on that mountain, he's risen from the dead, he's standing on the mountain, he's about to go up into heaven, he gathers his disciples again, and this is what Jesus says: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, I thought I'd put this on him because it doesn't really seem to speak about the supernatural, does it? This is Jesus' last command to his disciples, and so we can take it as this is what he wants us to do. This is the last thing he said. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And it's kind of safe, isn't it? It says, make disciples of all nations, baptize them. We can do that. That just involves a bit of water. We can dunk people down and lift them up again. And teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's pretty easy. We know all about teaching. We're quite happy with standing up in front of people and teaching them about stuff. So that's okay. We're safe. We're on safe ground here. This is what Jesus is asking us to do. But then I began to look at it in a bit more detail. I thought, well, what is it really saying? So he starts off by saying, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Now, if that's not a power statement, I don't know what is. He's saying there's a power here. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The kingdom of God involves power. And then he says, go and make disciples. Haven't we just read what making disciples means? Didn't he model what a discipleship course looks like? It looks like sending a bunch of people out to go and raise the dead, heal people from skin diseases, drive out demons. That's what making disciples is. That's what God ask us to do when we're making disciples. It's not about us coming along to home groups and sort of wandering around together feeling happy, is it? There's a power. God's saying the kingdom of God comes, disciples of the kingdom of God have a power about them, and they do things that are not natural, that are supernatural, because God's with them. Teaching them, the kingdom of God is at hand. We just read what the kingdom of God is all about. And then finally, the bit that kind of where we can begin to breathe a bit of a sigh of relief, he says, and I'm going to do it with you. You're not going to do this on your own. I'm going to be there with you. I love that. I love that about God. You know that? Do you know the picture in the Bible of Jesus being in the yoke with us, pulling along with us. That the stuff he's asking us to do, he's not saying, go and do it on your own, you know, here you go, go and solve all these problems. He's saying, I'm going to walk this road with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to pull this road with you. I'm going to be with you always, even to the very end of the age. So that kind of makes it feel a little bit better, doesn't it? So, at this point, I'm going to do something I've done in every other church, and I'm going to stop here. Hold on. I went to Halfords, and I bought these L plates, and I tied them together with a bit of string, and I'm going to put them on. Here we go. Now, you lot are a miserable bunch because all the other churches laughed at this point.
They didn't laugh that much.
No, well, come on, they didn't. They laughed more when Roger fell over. We'll come to that in a minute. I just wanted to say, this is a journey, okay? I have not raised anyone from the dead. It's a journey. I really want to go deeper with God. I really want to live out what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. But I know that I'm only a learner. And that's okay. You know, it's okay. When he sent out the 12 disciples, they didn't know what they were doing either. And they came back and they were really surprised about what happened. And it's okay for us to acknowledge that we're learning. And we can do this together. We can learn together. And we can have fun together as we're doing it. We can have a really positive time. So here's my little bit of teaching. Oh, there we go. That's me, Homer Simpson, with a cape and a dress on, trying to work out what he's supposed to be doing. But here's my little bit of teaching. I think we need to understand just a few things quickly. This is the meaty bit. If you're taking notes, this is the bit where you might want to sort of really write these things down. So here we go. Understand a few things. Number one, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. So I didn't make this up. This is from the Bible. It's from 1 Corinthians. This is what is being written. 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Okay? That's the kingdom of God. Number two, God wants to partner with us. So in Matthew 5:14, we read, you are the light of the world, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now we know that verse, don't we? We've probably read it loads of times. You are the light of the world. But do you know that you, the you bit, that isn't Jesus, is it? Jesus is saying it. He's saying, you are the light of the world. Switched it off, so I wasn't still doing it.
I guess this battery failed.
All right, there we go. Which one?
Try the green one again.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, let's be that one failed.
All right, cool. Okay, so there we go. Helicopter's gone again. Jesus is saying, "You are the light of the world." We might think, "Hang on a minute, no. I'm not the light of the world, Jesus. You're the light of the world." But he's actually saying, no, you are the light of the world. So what's he doing? He's partnering with us, isn't he? He's saying, come on, guys, you are the light of the world in conjunction with me. He's not saying, I'm the light of the world, you don't have to do anything, I'll do all the lighting bit. He's saying, you guys are the light of the world. He wants to partner with us. Number three, if we want to see God's power flow, we need to be committed and consecrated to him. Do you know that story in Acts when there's these guys, they're the sons of Sceva, a high priest, I think. You say Sceva, Sheva, I don't mind which way you say it. Anyway, so these guys are going out and they're trying to cast out demons and they're using the name of Jesus. And it goes badly wrong for them because they go into a situation where a guy's got a demon inside of him and they say, come on, get out in the name of Jesus. And he says, well, I think they say, come out in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches. And Stephen says, Paul I've heard of, Jesus I know, but I've got no idea who you are. And they get badly beaten up. And the point is that they're not in the right place with God, are they? They're not drawing on his power. They're just trying to use some sort of, magic spell, as it were. And so they're not right. If we want to see God's power flow, we need to be in the right place with him. We need to be committed and consecrated to him. Number four, the power to do amazing things is a gift from God. And we know that. 1 Corinthians 12, now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The power to do amazing things comes from God. It's not from us. So we can't boast about it. It's from God. Number five, in the kingdom, he's the king, and we're under his authority. It's his kingdom. He's the king. Luke 10:17, the disciples come back from doing these amazing things that Jesus sent them out to do. And they say, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He's the king. We act under his authority. Number six, faith plays a part in the power of God flowing. How many times do we read in the scripture, God says, your faith has healed you, your faith has made you well. Never have I seen faith like this, and it's resulted in something happening. And we know there's been a lot of bad teaching on this, and there's, I don't want anyone to sort of get into that trap of feeling like, oh, things aren't happening because I haven't got enough faith, or because the person who prayed for me hasn't got enough faith, and all that kind of stuff. There's no guilt in this at all. But faith plays a part in the power of God flowing. And we've got to understand that. And that faith comes from God. But God can do anything. There's one thing I was talking about in Stroud, and I got the story wrong, so I've looked it up since. But in the Old Testament, there's this weird little story. It's only a couple of verses where Elisha has died. You know, the great prophet Elisha has died, and he's been buried in a tomb. And some guys go out to bury another guy, and some raiders come across the hill, and they get scared, and they think, quick, what are we going to do with this body? We haven't got time to bury him. And so they chuck it into Elisha's tomb. And the dead body hits Elisha's bones, who's also dead, and it comes back to life again. And in this, a guy's sort of commentary on this story that I was reading, he says, in that situation, which one had the faith? Was it the dead guy, or was it the other dead guy who healed him? You know, so where's the faith in that? Is it the one who's been healed that had the faith, or was it the one that was doing the praying that had the faith? Well, neither of them, because they were both dead. So God can do anything. That's the point. But faith plays a part in it. We could obviously go loads deeper on all of these things. There's probably a 60 weeks sermon series in all of this. So we don't have time to do that, but I would recommend, if you want to dig a little bit deep into this stuff, read this book here. I found it incredible. I found it a really accessible book. It's the Miracle Work by a guy called Jordan Seng. Really, really helpful in kind of understanding some of this and normalizing it, and so it doesn't seem so kind of weird and wacky and not accessible, but something that we can really get a hold of. I think it's really important that we do some more study on this. Okay. So, at this point, I just want us to share some stories before we give this a go, because we are going to give it a go this morning. We may not try and raise any dead people unless one of you volunteers, but I think that we are going to just ask God to come and to bless us and to fill us up, to renew us by his Holy Spirit. But first of all, it's helpful perhaps just to hear a few ways in which God is working. So I'm just going to start off with this one. You know, Phil has committed something this morning to a project. Now, I wouldn't be at all surprised if this 20 quid becomes very symbolic of something that something we don't have the money for at the moment, something that seems too far off, starts because somebody gets up in a service and says, here's my bit, here's what I can give, and gives that. I wouldn't be surprised if we end up on Silver Street with the most amazing space that brings glory to God
And it's a space for our community because people say, I can be a part of this, I want to give something. And that to me is a miracle. That is part of God's working in our lives. That is supernatural because God's in it. And there's so much of this going on. There's so much of it if we listen in our church of ways in which God is working. Super things that are happening. Little currents, little streams of stuff that God is doing. And it's really exciting. And what we need to do is listen for it. We need to stop and see it. Not see the problems, not see the things that don't go so well, not see, oh, this hasn't worked out so well, or that's not gone so well, or where is everybody, and all those things, but listen to what God is doing, because he's doing some really, really cool stuff, really exciting stuff in our fellowship. But I'm going to get Roger up, because Roger's got a little story from last week.
Thanks, Tom. Tom's kind of alluded to this already, but... So he was talking at Stroud last week, and Kat and I and the kids, we went along as well. So we were aiming to get there for 10, it's an hour's drive, so we set up at 9, and you can imagine it's fairly hectic getting out of the house. But we had a lovely drive over there. They had much more snow than we did, so you know, seeing lots of fields in Gloucestershire covered in snow. And then we got to their church, and they meet in school as well, probably more rows of seats, a bit narrow, but... yeah, and we were, you know, worshipping, and then I was probably sat more or less where Roy and Val are now. And then this guy came up front, and he said he had a picture. He'd felt his left buttock and his left leg getting very warm, and he just had a sense that there was someone with leg, you know, an issue with their left leg. I stood up at that time, and it sort of made me think, my leg's feeling a bit warm as well. I didn't really say anything about it, so okay. And then the guy leading worship put his hand up and said, yep, that's for me. So they prayed, whatever, and then we carried on worshipping. And I was still stood up. And then all of a sudden I wasn't stood up. My left leg literally gave way and I collapsed in the aisle. I was fully conscious and everything, but my left leg just gave way. And I sat on the floor. And my leg hadn't, I was trying to move it, but it wouldn't move. It was sort of, there was no strength in it. It just wasn't moving at all. And the guy came over and then prayed for it. And then, I was able then to, got up and then stood up and was fine after that. In terms of the sort of timing was very strange. One of those sort of God incidences, I think we keep calling them, in terms of timing. I can kind of leave you to make that what you will. My sense is very much that what sort of came to my mind as I thought about it and prayed about it is very much this, that sort of thing you get from Proverbs, lean not on your own understanding, and so don't rely on your own strength, rely on God's. And that's come out from lots of the songs we've been singing this morning. Even as we stood up there, I felt my leg almost tingling again, and I find myself now crossing the road and thinking, don't give way. And it's all, Thea likes the Mr. Men books, and Mr. Mean, I don't know if anyone remembers Mr. Mean, obviously it's Mr. Mean, but a wizard comes and he's sort of trying to teach him lessons about not being quite so mean. And when he is mean, parts of his body turn into things like, I don't know, I think his nose turns into a potato or something like that. But as the story goes on, he gets this sort of, if he's being mean, things start tingling and he gets a bit of a warning, and then he gets a chance to sort of change his behaviour. So I have to have found this week, it's all my leg, I've spoke to a physio on Tuesday, I spoke to one, and he said it was the sciatica, it's sort of, I think the nerve is being pinched and whatever. But I have found it as a sort of helpful indicator during the week. And I think for me, probably relying on my own, I've lived most of my life without being a Christian, and I suppose become fairly self-sufficient. And I think that is probably something a weakness I have. I've found that's quite a helpful sort of point to just encourage me to rely on God and not on my own sort of strength and understanding. So.
Great. Thank you.
And it was, I probably found it less funny than Tom did, but
I did find it quite amusing, actually. Look, I've got my L plates on. We are beginners in this in some respects, but I want us to do it. You've got to start somewhere. Every journey starts with a little step. And as Sarah said earlier, God's really gentle with us. He's not someone that's going to embarrass us and make things hard for us. So what I want to do this morning, and this is something that we've done in our leadership team together, is just, if we want to see more of God in our lives, if we believe that God is present here, then let's ask him for more of him in our lives. Let's say, God, I want you, please, to have more of you in me, because I want to see your spirit working in me. I want to see your power released through me. I want to be more consecrated to you. I want to be more committed to you. I want to follow with the calling that you've given me. And so what we did was we just laid hands on each other, we prayed for each other, and there was nothing dramatic, but there was a few tears, there was some pictures for each other, there was just a nice sense of God moving, a real gentleness about it, but of God being active and involved in our lives. And so what I'd like us to do is simply this. Pete's going to come up and play a bit of music, and if Pete, if you want to get prayed for as well, you're welcome to, but just as a simple act of obedience, because God can work through our obedience, I thought what we do is just, if you want to be prayed for, just raise your hand, because it's a little bit embarrassing, it's a little bit kind of like, I've actually got to do something, it's a little bit, there's just a bit of obedience involved, and God can use that. And so if you want to get prayed for, if you want more of God in your life, in a minute, I just want you to raise your hand, and then anyone else who's around, lay your hands on them and pray for them, and ask God to fill them with his Holy Spirit. Fill them up. And we'll just listen, and if you get a word or a picture for them, then do share it with them. But that's all we're going to do. We're just going to ask God to come and fill us up. And just simply raise our hands if we want that to happen. And that's what we're going to do. And Pete, if you want to raise your hand as well, please stop playing and raise your hand, and we'll come and pray for you. But that's it. That's simply it. It's a baby step, but it's asking God to come. It's inviting God into our lives and saying, I want more of you. I want to be more committed to you. I want to follow you more closely. I want to go deeper with you. So that's what we're going to do. So if you want someone to come and pray with you, raise your hand now, and I'm available.